playing at the Pembroke Pines Theater of the Performing Arts from now through April 13th. You can join Don Quixote on his quest for the impossible dream and see things not as they are, but as they ought to be. Tickets available at pptopa.com or 954-437-4884. That is pptopa.com or 954-437-4884.
Ziff, Perez, Knight. These names donate millions of dollars, but charity also includes more personal and private acts of generosity. I'm Tom Hudson. Join us Monday morning at 9 for an encore presentation of The Sunshine Economy, Giving It Away, Philanthropy in South Florida, made possible by Kaufman Rawson.
And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up later on the program, arts contributor Judith Bishop speaks with Tiger Tail Productions founder and executive director Mary Luft about enticing programs coming up for the not-for-profit. Musician Aaron Libos shares his excitement about his latest CD, Turning Point. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. South Florida's gem of an environmental, archaeological, and historical preserve, the Deering Estate at Cutler, is also a cultural and educational facility with programs for all ages to enjoy. Among the abundant offerings of the park, their annual Festival of the Arts takes place next Friday, April 11th through the 13th, featuring 61 visual artists, 27 literary guests, and 122 performing artists. And with us today, with those details, is the estate's assistant director, Ms. Jennifer Tisthammer, and visual artist and sculptor, mentor, environmental artist in residence, and special projects curator for the festival, Ms. Lucinda Linderman. And welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat, Jennifer, and great to meet you, Lucinda.
Thank you so much for having us.
I almost didn't get through your description of all your job duties, Lucinda, which we'll explore in our too brief time together. But tell me, ladies, with the immensity of the Deering Estate's unique, wonderful offerings, the historic structures, the prehistoric archaeology, and Indian mound, rare animals popping up here and there, among other delights, do you both ever simply luxuriate in your surroundings at work? And are you overwhelmed by those marvelous surroundings?
I can tell you that, you know, at times, I wouldn't say overwhelming, but it is definitely inspiring, you know, regenerating. There's a lot to take in. And so that means you got to come back a lot of times. There you go. That's the answer.
Lucinda?
I get a chance to enjoy the estate all the time. I always walk around and have my lunch out on the lawn and go on the nature tour. So I get to visit it probably more than the employees.
How fortunate you both are to work at the Deering Estate. It's just such a wonderful, unique park overseen by the Metro-Dade Parks Department.
Yes, and we've certainly grown throughout the years. And so, like, you know, we've gone from that undiscovered gem in South Miami-Dade to, you know, a full-fledged arts calendar, a full-fledged environmental education calendar, tours, you know, Festival of the Arts, certainly a signature event that's now grown to national stature with our National Endowment of the Arts funding, which is a yay win for this community, too.
Thanks for that transition. Let's start talking about your Deering Estate Festival of the Arts. Once again, it takes off next Friday, April the 11th through next weekend. And what's the theme this year?
I think, and I'll turn it over to Lucinda really to talk about it, but you know, the idea is to create in the art practice community here a focus on environmental and eco-art, and what better place to do that than in such a natural setting such as the Deering Estate. And while it is a subset of art for many artists, art practitioners, it's certainly something that we want to elevate in terms of the consciousness in our community to just highlight that interaction between people and their environment. It's a very unique perspective, and looking at in deep is a great way to do so.
Lucinda, you're the curator for the festival. 61 visual artists. You all have the room for that.
We do. The exhibit goes throughout the lawns of the estate. It goes through both houses. So it It actually doesn't seem like there are a lot of artists there. Mm-hmm. But the exhibit title is In Deep again, and it's an exhibit about how man interacts with his environment. And it's really covered all of the faucets of environmental art. So we have people that are working with land art, with reclaimed materials. We have people that are doing interventions. We have pop-up poetry readings during the event. So it's really focused on being inclusive in environmental art and showing what a desire there is in South Florida for artists to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Please explain for me environmental interventions.
Well, I can focus on one artist that we have during the Festival of the Arts is Laz Ojalde. He's a designer, and he's created what he calls a bat condominium, which is this large wooden structure that he's researched, and it has housing for several species of bats or for several colonies of bats, and that will remain on the estate after the exhibit.
And of course, bats are very important to us from an ecological standpoint because A, they control our mosquito populations, but they also add to pollination of different plant species. So very integral to our community and certainly a species we want to look at. Not something that you would think about as focusing on art, but oh my goodness gracious, you know, one of the things about this Festival of the Arts is that it does focus on the intersection between science, the art aesthetic, as well as advocacy. And, you know, what do we as artists try and do is to change people's perspective about their world and move them.
122 performing artists. let's start talking about them and connect that with me for me with the National Water Dance. That's going to be an incredible event.
Yes, simultaneous. It's a choir performance on the estate, which means that
on the front lawn,
next to the bay.
Mm-hmm. Wow!
So that the entire movement then sort of highlights this connectivity that we have to our water and water resources, but it also demonstrates the connectivity to our water and water resources in 91 other communities. Mm-hmm. So this is a simultaneous performance that's happening with community organizations and universities across the nation at this time. So what an amazing engagement.
Sure, sure. Now, there's going to be some national vibrations going on. What's the mindset behind that to get, a dozen or so locations across the country vibrating at the same time, 1 o'clock on a Saturday? When will that be?
That's actually going to start at
4:30
in the afternoon on the estate. And again, it's free and open to the public. So we definitely want as many people as we can engaging with others. But it's to highlight our connectivity to our environment and our connectivity to each other. Mm. And so, you know, one of the wonderful things about performance art is that it gives you a physical space and a connectivity. Mm-hmm. And then to do that, not only locally, but then across those cities is a phenomenal opportunity.
Lucinda, tell us about some of the performing artists. Much more going on all throughout your facility.
So we have several artists in residence programs participating with us. We have the Area Artists in Residence Program, and we have our own artists from the Deering Estate. And one of the people participating is Anne McCrary Sullivan, and she's a poet and she writes poetry about the Everglades, so she'll be doing pop-up poetry readings all night long with her poetry
Good
in different areas.
Good for the month
areas.
Of April.
Yes. Exactly. And I have another poet, speaking of literary arts, Harry Dwayne Hudson, who has done a 10-year project of walking meditation on haiku. So his practice is really interesting, and we have a video installation of his work with his haiku and images that he's taken and music that he's created. So it's a complete installation.
Jennifer Tisthammer and Lucinda Linderman from the Deering Estate at Cutler, our guests opening up South Florida Arts Beat, the marvelous, unique, you have to go park is located at 16701 Southwest 72nd Avenue in South Miami. And for more info, there's voluminous info on their beautiful website at deeringestate.org. You can call them directly at 305-235-1600. 1-800-366-6868. Jennifer, do I understand that the festival is free?
It's free and open to the public, and there's programs for kids as well as adults, as well as gallery owners and artists and art aficionados. So it really does run the breadth of audiences out there, and we want everyone there for the opening night and for all of the activities.
Am I correct in saying it's free with park admission, or
free and open?
Wow, that's very generous.
Free and open to the public, and that's
marvelous
because of that National Endowment of the Arts funding that we received.
Who else has come together to help make this a reality?
Coral Morphologic, the High Waterline Project, of course, National Water Dance. We've got Arthur and Polly Mays Conservatory of the Arts, Miami-Dade College, FIU's FCE LTR programs. We got scientists in here, Earth Ethics Institute, the Artist in Residence in Everglades National Park, of course, Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. I mean, It is a major collaboration, and with artists like Coral Morphologic, who's been working, you know, with us, some of the other artists, Babette Hirschberger, Harry Dwayne Hudson, you know, O Miami Poetry Festival will be there, Eve Mosher and Heidi Quante.
And all this is on your website.
All this
DeeringEstate.org. And Lucinda, in our final minute, we'll see some of your beautiful sculpture, I hope.
No, I'm...
What?
I'm the curator for the exhibit, okay. So it's taken all of my time to put this together.
And she's
been
doing an amazing job. Her and our exhibit specialist, Kim Yandis, who are installing right now as we speak.
You all have done an amazing job. Deering Estate at Cutler is quite, once again, an amazing, unique park. Fine art and historic exhibitions, artist in residence program, living artists, concert series, the Festival of the Arts, Youth Arts Day and Music Festival, visiting artist outreach programs, current exhibit and artist village tours, master classes, youth and adult programs, workshops and lectures, and I'm running out of breath. Coming up on Thursday the 10th, the Archaeological Society of Southern Florida lecture. It's free at 7 o'clock. They've got a wonderful Mother's Day brunch coming up Sunday, May the 11th. And Tales Under the Stars, Tuesday, April 22nd. It's all on their website at DeeringEstate.org. And ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. This is awesome.
This is South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Great to have you along this afternoon. It's 20 past one.
This Friday, Bass Museum of Art presents their monthly Beats After Sunset event, where cocktails and culture come together from 8 to 11, and you can view their new exhibition, Vanitas, Fashion and Art. Details at bassmuseum.org.
Do you find yourself taking addictive prescription medications to control your chronic pain? There is another way. Hanley Center addresses prescription pain medication addiction while helping you manage your chronic pain. There is hope. West Palm Beach's Hanley Center for Comprehensive Addiction Treatment understands and is there to help. Hanley Center, 855-718-2233 or online at hanleycenter.org. Recovery for life.
O Miami presents the first ever poetry wallcast in Miami Beach's Soundscape Park. On Saturday, April 5th, two of the most celebrated poets in America, former U.S. Poet Laureate Robert Haas and 2011 National Book Award winner Nikki Finney, read their work on the 7,000-square-foot New World Symphony projection wall in high-definition sound. The evening begins at 5 p.m. and includes free performances by New World Symphony musicians, a used book exchange from Booklegger's Mobile Library, food and family-friendly games. Details at omiami.org.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, guitarist, composer, and arranger Aaron Libos talks about his exciting new recording, Turning Point. Chef Norman Van Aken serves up a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. Now, our arts contributor Judith Bishop catches up with South Florida's pioneer of innovative cultural performances.
The night is getting on, the band is getting slow, the crowd is almost gone.
Tiger Tail Productions has been a key player on the South Florida art scene since 1979. Miami New Times put it well. They wrote, before there was a Miami Book Fair, a Miami Film Festival, or Miami City Ballet, there was Tiger Tail. The group has been in the forefront of innovation in the performing and visual arts. They've discovered new talent through the years and fostered the career of emerging artists. Tiger Tail has earned a solid national reputation and forged strategic partnerships to keep their productions on budget and in the headlines. Tiger Tail Production was founded by Executive Director Mary Luft. The prestigious Knight Foundation calls her pure magic. Her magic is what keeps Tiger Tail on the cutting edge. And Mary Luft is our guest today on South Florida Arts Beat. Mary Luft, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. Always great to have you join us and update us on Tiger Tail. Mary, so many arts organizations and even large corporations are really a reflection of the leadership. Edward Vallejo, when he was at the Miami City Ballet, and certainly Michael Tilson Thomas at New World. To what degree is Tiger Tail a reflection of you and your sensibilities?
Ooh. First of all, it's great to be here. I love this show. It needs to be on every single day.
Oh, we could probably do that.
It's great. You know, it is my vision, but I'm not alone. And I have an army of people I talk with that feed me ideas. So, you know, yes, it is my vision, but it's not done as a solo act.
I realize that. But you are the leader, the fearless leader, and you're the one with the vision. How would you characterize your vision or your mission?
Tiger Tail is interested in innovative work. We're very interested in the voice of the artist and the voice of the artist in the performing, visual, film, poetry world. You know, I have a great grab bag that I just keep throwing things into, and every now and then, you know, something comes up, and then it's incorporated into the season.
That's interesting. So that there is, I guess you must have a rotation of standard things. Every year you say, we have to have a dance piece, we have to have a music piece, but mm-hmm. you also go into the grab bag.
Yes. Yeah, we have focus projects. We have our performing series. We're very interested in solo guitar players, in blues, in artists from international countries that fill in those arenas as well as artists from this country. And then we have WordSpeak, our inner city teen project, spoken word project. We've published poetry books for 10 years. So we do have a number of different projects.
Social issues often play a role in your choices. Why do you feel there's this symbiosis between the arts and social consciousness?
I think you just look around Miami. Miami is feeding us, and Miami is extremely diverse. And there are many, many issues. And so if we can tap into just a few, we feel fortunate.
Well, it's certainly fortunate for the diverse audience that you are playing to here in Miami. And I think it's important that you do have that added vision, that it just doesn't have to be an excellent dance company, but perhaps there's more to it than that.
I hope so.
Let's talk about your current season. April's a very, very big month. Florida meets France this coming month as you stage cabaret, jazz, mm-hmm. dance, all with a very decidedly French flavor.
Yes. This is Fla Fra, Florida, France. It's an exchange project. We did a 10-year project with Brazil. This is a 2-year project. Our major funder is the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation through the Knight Arts Challenge and ends April 30th. We have two artists, music artists, a cabaret artist, a wonderful singer, Floanne, who will be here April 11th, April 12th. We have Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, who's the big buzzword. If you went to the Wynton Marsalis concert on December 20th at the Arch, you had a chance to hear her. She's going to be back with her trio. It's going to be up close personal. We have two companies from France that we're bringing. Miriam Gorfink is doing two different programs. One is with this beautiful ballet dancer from the Paris Opera Ballet that's doing a solo piece by Miriam. And then the other piece is a duo with Miriam and this incredible percussionist. The piece that opens on the Friday and then Saturday, Breathing Monster. Does that give you an idea? It's like watching Butoh, but with a Western technique. It's the work is absolutely fabulous.
Mary, where are these musical and dance events being held?
Okay, so the first one is at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium, Black Box, and that's Floann. You can come from 8 to 9 and hear some of the culture clicks or enjoy French bistro food. And then the concert's at 9. On Saturday the 12th is Cecile McLaurin-Salvant at the Colony Theater. That starts at 8:30. And the dance events are April 25th and 26th. Miriam and Cedric, they're dueling against each other for one night.
That's Cedric, a tough choice.
Oh, I know. Mm-hmm. Cedric, but you can go to all three. You can go all three. Cedric is Friday the 25th, Saturday the 26th at the Colony Theater, 8:30. And Miriam is at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium. Come early for food and culture clicks at 8:30. And then there's a matinee on Saturday at the Miami-Dade County Auditorium. So you could do all three. You could come to Miriam Friday, Miriam Saturday matinee, and Cedric Saturday night.
Excellent planning. And I know you're planning French films with the master, yes. François Truffaut.
That's at
Cinematheque, correct? The Miami Beach Cinematheque?
They're actually at two different locations, and the great Dana Keith has programmed this. Thank you very much. Early Truffaut, Shoot the Piano Player, Stolen Kisses, those will be at the Miami Beach Cinematheque. And then we move to the Soundscape, the New World Symphony outside space. And it's called Films on the Beach. And we'll be showing two more early Truffaut, 400 Blows and Jules and Jim. Everything is on our website, tigertail.org. So you can go and just look up everything with maps and additional information.
That's a banquet for Francophiles. You hit all the highlights.
Right. There's another 30-day piece. It's called In Search of Sunrise. And you can go to this one location on Miami Beach for 30 days, 30 different people, and it'll be filmed. There's an individual standing on the beach looking towards France and thinking about a poet, a painter, a writer, a philosopher, and it'll go up on YouTube, this particular 5-minute video. So by the end of 30 days, we'll have 30 videos in search of sunrise France.
Have you selected the 30 individuals?
We're working on it.
Oh, volunteers. Oh,
if there's somebody out there, you can call 305-324-4337 and you can volunteer for In Search of Sunrise or come to the Edge, which is a 12-hour reading of the works of Apollinaire. And we're partnering with the Arts Center of South Florida as part of their exhibit that they do in Studio Crawl. It's April 5th. And you can be one of the readers, either in French or in English.
Now, Mary, to go back to the sunrise, you said at one point in our beautiful beaches, where is that point?
It's on South Beach, and it's below Fifth Street, so it's early in the morning, and we have even located a parking lot, so you can find a place to park, and we have directions. We have a French flag. There's an Eiffel Tower. That's on our information. So you just look for the flag and the Eiffel Tower and you'll get right there.
That sounds excellent. And the culmination, are you having any kind of a last night event?
There will be something, but it's not announced yet.
We'll be announcing teasing
that.
Us, huh?
Yeah, sorry. The other really beautiful part is we've commissioned artists for something called Culture Clicks. Individual artists from Miami-Dade, and the pieces are great fun. They're very imaginative, and 14 artists have created Culture Clicks, little projects based on France. So go to our website and look them up.
It sounds very exciting. We thank you for bringing a bit of French culture to Miami Beach.
Thank you very much. I love to be here.
For more information on the current season, log on to tigertail.org or telephone 305-324-4337. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment.
Let the waltz play again.
Playing this week at O Cinema Wynwood, Wes Anderson's The Grand Budapest Hotel is a stylized comic tour de force featuring an all-star cast helmed by Ralph Fiennes, a New York Times critics pick, and what could be the year's biggest indie film hit. Details at o-cinema.org.
You're good at your job. You keep things going at home. Become a poll worker, and you can put those skills to work for your community. The Miami-Dade Elections Department is recruiting 2,000 people to help voters cast their ballots on Election Day. Poll workers earn up to $260 per election, including paid training. Registered voters who can read, write, and speak English are invited to apply. It's your chance to be informed, be involved, be election ready. You can apply at IamElectionReady.org. Learn more at 305-499-VOTE.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken delivers a word on food, and our Florida Keys calendar features Andy Newman. With his band's new recording, Turning Point, guitarist, composer, and arranger Aaron Libos takes his group into new musical territory. The band, comprised of Libos on guitar, Jim Gaiser on keyboards, Eric England bass, and Rodolfo Zuniga on drums, is a more cohesive unit, executing Libos's complex compositions with ease and verve. It makes for quite exciting music based in jazz, but reflecting rock, funk, R&B, and world music influences. Aaron Libos recently joined us in the WLRN studios. Aaron Libos, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Ed, thanks so much for having me. It's always good to be here and hang out with you.
Now, tell me, you are a graduate of the prestigious University of Miami Frost School of Music, where you got your bachelor's. Then you went over to FIU School of Music, a magnificent school of music, to get your master's. Tell us about the jazz educational experience you had for, what, some 8 years. Certainly it helped to guide your career and change you as a musician, but give us another idea of the massive impact that must have had on you.
Well, it should have been 6 years, but I do like to stretch things out musically and educationally. But I definitely had great experiences at both of those schools, and in some ways it definitely helped reinforce like a good practice ethic, mm-hmm. a good work ethic, you know. I'm pretty obsessive and definitely committed like with practicing and with not just on my instrument, but with checking out new music, with being versatile, with listening to a bunch of different music that I might not usually come in contact with. What the education did was educate me, mm-hmm. for the most part. You know, I had great experiences there, you know, playing with friends and stuff like that. And then it's for me to develop that. It's for me to expand on that. It's for me to internalize that so that I can compositionally and improvisationally give out the music that's inside of me.
Mm-hmm. Now, we were talking earlier off mic about making a specific commitment to one's musical career. You can go through a marvelous educational program like at the U of M or FIU and then go pursue educating to the detriment perhaps of your own creative career. Did you always want to be a creative musician in your career, or did you aspire to simply just be a teacher? Or,
well, all those things are have their own place, and all those
sure.
things are extremely valuable to the network of music.
Mm-hmm.
For me, playing and improvising, that's kind of what I've always done, and I love music. I love music from all styles and the most basic primal, you know, rock to anything, as long as it's authentic.
Talk about basic primal rock. Hendrix was a big influence. Led Zeppelin was a big influence. What jazz artists did you love?
Well, as a guitarist, I mean, I love Jim Hall. Mm-hmm. I love his, you know, melodicism and his simplicity. Wes, you know, I mean, that's the man right there.
Mm-hmm. Wes Montgomery.
And then, you know, I think some players that kind of were maybe a bridge for me, coming from rock and getting into to jazz. Schofield.
John Schofield. Yeah.
Super important to me, and I mean, you know, great to this day. And so many amazing albums, and you know, encompassing from the kind of 80s, like Miles kind of vibe, you know, to just, I mean, it's just some amazing records, and how we kind of started a bridge into like the jam band scene. Now he's almost like the top guitarist at all these festivals.
Isn't that an interesting turnaround?
Yeah.
That's really something else.
And he gets a lot of love.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, he is embraced, and that's magnificent. Mm-hmm. I've caught him with, I believe, the Bad Plus and Modesky Martin and Wood, and taking his career in a new direction. You want to do that, and I think you'll be able to accomplish it beautifully with the compositions you're coming up with now. But what does that entail for a basically jazz-educated group to go off into a jam band festival kind of atmosphere? Because there's not too many of your groups out there on the jam band festival circuit.
Well, I can say that I think we have some great bands that are trailblazing right now, so to speak, for us. I'm completely obsessed with Snarky Puppy right now. I think they're the real deal in every way. And, you know, their individual players are monsters. Their compositions and arrangements are amazing. They just won a Grammy. They're a great role model for me, and I love their music and their sound. They've been able to kind of cross over to a lot of different things without dumbing their music down. So that's, you asked me, you know, I guess sort of what's our approach in a little bit of a different realm.
You just be yourself and do what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this album has kind of taken a different life naturally. It hasn't been a conscious effort to, oh, we're going to play more rock, or, you know, we're going to, you know, angle towards the jam band and not play traditional jazz. This album is really the result of the transformation between our first album and this album, which is about a year and a half, and all the rehearsing that we've done, all the working on the arrangements, all the gigging that we've done, all the growing together as a band. And I, of course, have to mention, you know, how important the other musicians are in this band. Eric England on bass, Jim Gazier on keyboards, Rodolfo Zuniga on drums. Everyone really inputs so much with the arrangements and with the style and with the shape of the band.
It's a phenomenal group that you have brought together, and for you four guys to stay together for a number of years and to go through this period of cohesion makes, to me, your music much more powerful. And as I mentioned to you earlier off mic, for me, it's exciting because I don't know where you're going to take your music at any given moment in any given composition, but it's also a bit nostalgic because Jim will come out with a Joseph Zawinul sound on his keyboard, and that takes me back to that wonderful band. Mm-hmm. You'll do something that reminds me of Zappa with George Duke, and so you send me back through the decades of music that you've studied, and it's a thrilling experience to hear this in new, original compositions such as you have on Turning Point. Let's talk about some of them. You've got a tune that I naturally gravitate to, A Dog Named Hendrix, because I love the music of Jimi Hendrix, and I absolutely am in love with dogs.
There you go.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah, I mean, I have a dog named Hendrix. I've had him for 11 years. He's the, not to be too cheesy, but he's the joy of my life, you know.
Aren't they all?
I love him. His personality is, you know, so amazing. So I figure, you know, I've had a lot more ridiculous names.
Well, A Dog Named Hendrix is a marvelous name for a composition. When you first kick off the tune, it's a very meaty, masculine, heavy kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And is the joke that your dog's a little chihuahua or something?
Oh, no. He's a big lab who loves to eat.
Big guy kind of dog, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, man, love it. Tell me about some of the other tunes. You've got a video built around your tune called Screens.
That tune, I think for me, it's the best tune on the record. I think it came out the best. And that tune, I specifically remember working a lot on the arrangement. And I think, you know, like maybe, you know, two or three rehearsals, just getting the arrangement down, you know, and trying different stuff. And I really think that makes all the difference on how that song flows. There's a lot of different little sections, but I really think that they flow from one to the other, you know, really well. And it's a cool song. I like it a lot.
I think I remember reading somewhere that composers like John Zorn for example, would work in a cut and paste method. He would come up with one little piece of music and then he'd cut and paste in the studio. You have some interesting changes in your compositions every so often that will just catch you right off guard, and you don't work in that mode, do you? A collage mode of composition.
I don't really have one specific way that songs kind of come together. Sometimes it might be, you know, I have one idea and then I build around that. Sometimes I have two separate ideas and I try to make them work together, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. In the end, what's important is the song and how it exists as one statement. But I'm not scared of, you know, making some drastic changes if they're cool. You know, rule number one, is it cool or not?
Once again, improvising.
Yeah.
Well, we'll certainly get a chance to hear your great original compositions, Aaron, coming up tomorrow night, Saturday, April 5th at Bougainvillea's down in South Miami. Sunday, April 6th at 6 p.m. down at Pinecrest Gardens for the South Motors Gen Next Jazz Show. That's free and open to the public, as is Bougainvillea's, I believe.
Correct.
And the Pinecrest Gardens show starts at 6 this Sunday. In June, we are so excited to have you back on the air. It's been too long. It's been over 2 years, I believe. You'll be performing June 20th here on South Florida Arts Beat. And coming up in July, July 25th at the wonderful Arts Garage. So all counties just about will be able to hear your wonderful new compositions on Turning Point. And all the best luck to you, sir, for a great future for the band. Keep those guys together, because you guys have something unique and powerful.
Well, Ed, thanks again for having me on here, and we're definitely looking forward to June and to playing live on the show. I would say we're going to have some new material by then, hopefully. We've been playing these tunes on this album for a good year already, so we like them, but we're itching to write some new music. So thank you again for your support of the arts, man.
My pleasure. June 20th, Aaron Libos Reality, performing live on South Florida Arts Beat. Thank you, Aaron.
All right, Ed.
More information at AaronLibos.com. They're on Twitter at Aaron Libos and also on Facebook. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment.
We're funded by listeners like you and by Whitsam's Nursing Service, committed to offering quality home health care since 1996 by matching patients with caregivers who provide personal care and skilled nursing services. Details at 800-952-3881.
An anthropologist, a psychologist, and a crime writer ask, are we hardwired for violence? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at what science and years of blood-soaked history tell us about human nature. Plus, could one of Saturn's moons have a giant ocean inside of it? All on Science Friday from PRI.
Florida Grand Opera presents the blockbuster opera Puccini's Tosca. It's the story of a corrupt police chief who blackmails a beautiful singer. Florida Theater on Stage says FGO delivers soaring Tosca. And South Florida Classical Review calls it dramatically intense. Audiences love Tosca, and so may you. Florida Grand Opera presents Tosca at the Broward Center now through April 12. Tickets at FGO.org or at 800-741-1010.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the offs and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do de do ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is potatoes. Few cooking aromas create a deeper longing in me than those of roasting potatoes. I am hurled back in time to living in a two-bedroom home that was guided and nurtured by my grandmother, Nana. Four of us lived with Nana, my two sisters, Jane and Bette, and my mother, Ruth. Nana was Scotch-Irish, raised on the lower west side of Manhattan, and her cooking repertoire was narrow. But what she made was made with love and absolute conviction. I remember her standing near the kitchen sink in one of her plain house dresses, a cotton striped apron tied around her pale but sturdy frame. The winter light weakly illuminated her calm smile through the snow-streaked window as she stood with a dinner fork poised over half a dozen russet potatoes. Then, peering over her ever-present eyeglasses, she pierced them equidistantly before laying them on a baking pan and placing them in the small gas oven near the gust-buffeted, cracked wooden door of that cottage, which overlooked a small and often frozen lake in northern Illinois. The baked potatoes she made were served with sour cream, butter, salt, and pepper. What else was served for dinner would be secondary to me most of the time. The soft merging between the whiteness and the tang of the sour cream and the gentle yellow of rich farm-stand butter melted helplessly against the mixed, steaming topography of the split and yielding tuber. It soothed my teenage hunger pangs better than the canned peas and slices of white bread could ever pray to. The potato is almost without compare in terms of what we eat as to how miserable it was felt to be in the beginning of its usage to how beloved it has become. The American writer Nora Ephron wrote famously, "When I fall in love, it always begins with potatoes." The days of its inception in Europe were met with wide contempt. The principal writer of an encyclopedia on food during the reign of Louis XV in France proclaimed, "This root, no matter how you prepare it, is tasteless and floury. It cannot pass for an agreeable food." Yet, by 1597, a gent from Virginia named John Gerard wrote, "The virtues of the potato are equal to meat, being either roasted in the embers and eaten with oil, or dressed in some other way by the hand of a skillful cook." The best passage I've ever found about potatoes in literature fell my way while I was living as a breakfast cook in Greeley, Colorado. I had picked up a copy of The Tin Drum by the German Nobel Prize-winning author Günter Grass at a yard sale. I read it after work in a setting Colorado sun on the porch of the home of a friend who was letting me crash there. He wrote, "But now it was Monday afternoon, and my grandmother was sitting by the potato fire. Today her Sunday skirt was one layer closer to her person, while the one that had basked in the warmth of her skin on Sunday swathed her hips in Monday gloom. Whistling, with no particular tune in mind, she coaxed the first cooked potato out of the ashes with her hazel branch and pushed it away from the smoldering mound to cool in the breeze. I wanted to taste it so badly, I could barely wait for it to cool." I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Katsuobushi. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back Mr. Andy Newman over the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Andy, tell us about all the wonderful things going on in the fabulous Florida Keys.
They are the fabulous Florida Keys, Ed. And I think the first thing that we need to talk about is tomorrow, Saturday. It is the 33rd annual 7-mile bridge run. Now, folks that have lived in South Florida for a long time may think, well, wait a minute, 7-mile bridge run, isn't it a little bit early for that? Because usually it's the third Saturday of April, but indeed the bridge run is on the first Saturday this year. And listen, if you haven't registered, forget it. You're not going to get in because that field of 1,500 runners filled up months ago. But the important thing for folks to know is that the bridge run will indeed shut down the 7-mile bridge temporarily between 6:45 in the morning, and it will reopen promptly at 9 a.m. So if you're planning on transiting from the Middle Keys to the Lower Keys in Key West or vice versa, just make sure that you're aware of that and you'll want to avoid the bridge during that time period. Now, Ed, some other events coming up here in Marathon through April 12th, a Marathon Community Theater is presenting 9 to 5, the musical. And along with that, by the way, and at the Marathon Community Theater is the 32nd annual Judge Florida Keys Watercolor Society's Art Show. Red Barn Theater through April 26th, that's down in Key West, by the way. Red Barn Theater presenting Clybourne Park. It's the winner of the 2011 Pulitzer Prize, as well as a 2012 Tony Award for Best Play. You know, Ed, I do want to mention the annual Key West Fishing Tournament. This has been going on now for some 48 years, and it awards thousands of certificates and citations on an annual basis. This weekend is the kickoff event, but don't worry if you can't participate because it continues for the next 8 months through November 30th. And this weekend up in Alamorada, the 23rd annual Florida Keys Island Fest. It's an annual event. It features music, art, food, and fun. Also hosts a world-class art show. Some 100,000 artists and craftsmen from around the state. There's great live music. There's a Taste of the Islands competition where the best Upper Keys restaurants compete for a number of different awards. It's free admission. Festival hours, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's at Founders Park, mile marker 87 Bayside on Plantation Key, of course, in the Alamorada area. And down the Key West we go for Migration Mania. We could use a little echo for that, by the way. Migration Mania. It's the Great Egg Hunt and Wild Bird Show. It's from 10 o'clock in the morning to 3 p.m. at the Key West Botanical Gardens. Only $5 per person, by the way. There'll be educational activities, egg hunts, arts and crafts games, live bird presentations, and so much more. Also, at down in Key West, Saturday through April 21st, the Red Barn Theater presenting Cowboys and Tales of Old Key West. This is definitely a crowd-pleasing made in Key West. It's a band rocking through a collection of country, cowboy, folk, rock, and blues music, including original compositions about legendary characters in Key West history. And some other events coming up here. Down in Key West, April 8th to the 19th, the Waterfront Playhouse presenting Souvenir, a Fantasia on the Life of Florence Foster Jenkins. It's a winner of the Drama Desk Awards for Best Play. It's actually a true story of Florence Foster Jenkins. She's a tone-deaf woman who is convinced that she is an operatic diva. Continuing with Key West, April 12th to the 13th, the Key West Garden Club presenting the annual garden tours between 10 o'clock in the morning and 3 o'clock each day. Again, we're talking April 12th to 13th. Key West Garden Club will be featuring 5 delightful gardens to explore. Tickets can be purchased at any of the individual gardens on the list or the Garden Club at West Martello Tower. Sunday, April 13th, in Alamorada, the second Sunday picking in the park. It's an open bluegrass jam for all ages and skill levels from 1 to 5 p.m. at Southwinds Park. April 14th, down in Key West, it's the Taste of Key West. Scores of area restaurants will be presenting mouth-watering samples of their cuisine to benefit the Hades Elk organization. The culinary celebration takes place in a great place. It's at the Truman Waterfront overlooking Key West Harbor. Down in Key West, April 15th to July 31st, the 6th annual Key West Art Garden. And on April 16th, the History of Diving Museum in Alamorada presents William Beebe in the Galapagos. It's a part of the free Immerse Yourself series. It begins at 7 p.m., and the special event, William Beebe in the Galapagos, will be presented by Jack Grove. In Alamorada, April 17th, the Morada Way Arts and Cultural District presents its Third Thursday Art Walk. I'll tell you something, Ed, if you have never been to a Third Thursday Art Walk, you owe yourself to go. This is a great evening event. It showcases not only traditional art, but also culinary art, live music from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's at Morada Way, which is between mile markers 81 and 82 on the ocean side, again, in Alamorada. Big event, it is the 32nd annual Conch Republic Independence Celebration, April 18th to the 27th, Ed. Of course, it celebrates the anniversary of the day that Key West and the Florida Keys seceded from the Union. It was all started by the U.S. Border Patrol's unannounced, unwarned roadblocks in Florida City. It created a 10-mile-long traffic jam. Folks in the Keys were very, very irritated. So they said, you know what? we're being treated like foreigners. We're going to go ahead and secede from the Union. They promptly declared war on the United States of America, surrendered, and then applied for about $1 billion in foreign aid.
There's a plan.
Absolutely. Also, Ed, the northernmost territories of the Conch Republic up in Key Largo, they'll be celebrating the Key Largo Conch Republic Days. That'll be April 20th to the 27th. And, Ed, because we are culturally oriented in the Conch Republic, the Key West Fringe Theater, April 25th to the 27th, will be presenting Conch Republic, the musical, and in Alamorada, the 26th of April, free outdoor pops in the park. It's a young musician's concert. That'll be at the Alamorada Founders Park, mile marker 87, and again, a free concert beginning at 4 p.m. Of course, many more events at on the Florida Keys website. It's flakeys.com.
And we always thank Andy Newman. He's the man in the know about what's going on in the fabulous Florida Keys. Andy Newman of the Florida Keys and Key West Tourism Council. Great weekend to you, sir.
And to you as well, sir.
Next Tuesday, April 8th, will be the last day that the Miami Foundation will accept idea submissions for the 2014 Public Space Challenge. The countywide challenge seeks to uncover the best ideas for creating and improving local public spaces. Ideas may be submitted at rmiami.org/challenge by anyone, including individuals, groups, for-profit organizations, and not-for-profit organizations. The Miami Foundation is investing $100,000 to make the ideas become reality. So once again, for more information, go to rmiami.org/challenge. Tonight, the Dillard Jazz Orchestra is in performance at the Hollywood Beach Theater starting at 7:30. That's Johnson Street, Under the Stars in Hollywood. Of course, it's free and open to the public. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributors, Judith Bishop, Norman Van Aken, and Andy Newman. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.
Ed Bell's South Florida Art.